But I've got some extra material for you here today. It's, you know, it really has nothing to do with the message. Can we turn these fans on? It's like warm in here today for some reason. And check the AC. I don't know what that said on. Maybe take it down a degree. And I thought it was just me. Okay. How many of you remember a guy named Jackie Gleason? Some of you? You know, humor used to be really clean and really cool. This just popped up. And I said, well, this is just, I like this, but it's got nothing to do with the message. The message is about wisdom. And maybe the wisdom would have been not to read this, but we'll see as we go along, right? Jackie Gleason's Secret to the Perfect Marriage.
Oh my
God. Right? That's who could stop right there, huh? Number one, 2 times a week we go to a nice restaurant, have good food and companionship. She goes on Tuesday, I go on Fridays. We also sleep in separate beds. Hers is in California, mine is in Texas. I take my wife everywhere. Is my wife in here today? Oh, no. I take my wife everywhere, but she keeps finding her way back. I asked my wife where she wanted to go for our anniversary. Somewhere I haven't been in a long time, she said, so I suggested the kitchen. We always hold hands. If I let go, she shops. I don't think you're going to like this next one. She has an electric blender, electric toaster, electric bread maker. She said, there's too many gadgets and no place to sit down. So I bought her an electric chair. My wife told me the car wasn't running well because there was water in the carburetor. I asked where the car was. She told me, in the lake. She got a mud pack, and she looked great for 2 days. And then the mud fell off. Remember, marriage is the number one cause of divorce. And this last one, I married Miss Wright. I just didn't know her first name was Always. Okay. Wisdom. There's kind of some wisdom hidden in there, right? But it's maybe not the kind that we're talking about today. But going back just a little bit where we've been for the last 2 Sundays, myself and then Patrick taught last week, talking here in verses 2 through 4, let's look at them. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This idea of trials and joy going together, it's like, but God uses this stuff, and the joy comes because we know that God's doing something in our lives. Patrick talked quite a bit about that, knowing that God is going to bring about something good. He says that he develops this perseverance in our lives, this willingness, this ability to keep going, to keep on keeping on, and that's something we need in this life, in this world, right? To keep going, we need to persevere. And he said there that, you know, out of it we get maturity. We get this idea of completion. Things start to come together. They happen. And the last thing he says that when these things all happen, you end up not lacking anything. You have everything you need. And you say, well, he uses trials to give me everything I need. Yeah. And that's the way God works. He does it differently. He has a different plan. His ways are not our ways, right? My way would be just give it to me, just hand it to me, you know, download it into my brain, and then we'll all be good. He says, well, I wish I could do that, but that doesn't really work. So you're going to have to go through some trials. Suffering, perseverance, character, and hope. Today, we're going to look at this idea of wisdom. We're going to look at verse 5, and it's kind of interesting, but this, let's just define this idea of wisdom is the right application of knowledge. Like I said, you could get all this downloaded to your brain, but it doesn't mean that it's going to make, and I heard that it's like 18 inches between the brain and the heart. Probably different for different people. But this idea that we can have a lot of knowledge up here, but how do we apply it? How do we make it work? How do we use that knowledge? Because wisdom is using the knowledge that we have in a right way. You know, we can know a lot. You can be the smartest guy on the planet, but not be wise at all, not have a speck of wisdom. There's a lot of smart people in the world, but they don't have any wisdom at all. Like, well, how does this work together? What does this mean? Now, when you and I face trials, this is something we need. Look at verse 5. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to him. It's interesting, verse 4, he said that you go through the trials, you get perseverance and maturity and completion, and then you're not lacking anything. And then the first thing he says in verse 5 is, if any of you lacks wisdom, it's the same word that he uses there. In other words, this is one of the things that we need, and one of the things that he wants to build into our lives is some form of wisdom. The word lack means to be destitute of. Does that apply to any of you here? Do any of you feel like you just don't have any wisdom at all? As I was looking at this, thinking about this, I'm thinking, man, I don't think I have any wisdom of my own. Not the way I grew up, not the what I was taught, which was not much. So what do you do? Any of you ever feel that way? One of the old commentators, he said, the great deficiency in the average Christian character is wisdom. Someone else said, and I have it on the screen there, this idea of wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge in a real life situation and to make godly and right choices. Knowledge is raw information, but wisdom knows how to use it. What do we do with what we know? What do we do with it? We know a lot of stuff, and you know, you go to church year after year and you've learned a lot of stuff, you got a lot of stuff up here, but how much of it is being translated into our lives? That stuff we know. Oh, I know that. Oh yeah, I know that. And sometimes we come and, you know, we say, oh, he said that last week. Or, you know, I heard that before. I already know all that. When's he going to give us some kind of new tidbit, some kind of new information? Well, if we would use what we already have, you see, it's a different story, you know. I still remember, you know, Bill Kinnaman, you know, he would come and he would always grasp onto something because he knew there was something that could be useful in his life and in his heart. I need wisdom every single day. I think part of the maturity he was talking about in the verses before is knowing that we don't have it and that we need it. And then he goes on to tell us, where do we get it? Some of you, I know what you're thinking already. Some of you are thinking you're a real wise guy. But you know what? What kind of wisdom do the wise guys have? Where do they end up? So what should we do? Well, what does he say here? He says that we should ask God, right? I think you need to put that back on that screen for me, Chris, please. There we go. What should we do? We should ask God for it. This is what James tells us to do. We should ask him. You know, we're all ready to go a lot of different places to find the answers we need, aren't we? We're ready to go to a counselor or ready to go to, you know, some kind of expert in this field or that field. We're ready to go to the horoscope. Did I say that right? Horoscope? You know, we pop, we don't have newspapers anymore, but you know, we used to, and we'd go right to the horoscope. You know, we have palm readers and we have psychics. There's all kinds of weird stuff out there, too. I remember before I became a believer, I was looking into different religious things, transcendental meditation and stuff like that. And there was a book called The I Ching. How many of you are familiar with The I Ching? Anyone? One. You want to tell them what it is? I'm just kidding. She's new. It's this book, you know, and basically have different things in here. And what you do is, this is a condensed version. You get pennies, right? And you toss the pennies, and how the pennies line up, that tells you where to go in this book to find out the answer to your question. Whoa. What happens if you don't have any pennies? I mean, one of the biggest avenues for the answers we're looking for now is social media. That's where you go. Oh, yeah. That's where I'm going to get it. James says you need to go to God first. Now, some of these things are helpful, don't get me wrong. Not I Ching and horoscopes and all that. But some people are helpful, and we'll talk about that in a second. But he says to go to God. He should ask God. You know, there's a difference, there's a big difference between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. There's a huge difference. In the God Questions website, it says that godly wisdom comes from God, obviously, and honors God. It starts with the fear of God and results in a holy life. But worldly wisdom is not concerned with honoring God, but with pleasing oneself. Where's it pointing? Worldly wisdom is always about us. Godly wisdom is something from Him and what He wants to teach us and guide us in and lead us in. See, God has all wisdom. That verse on the screen says that in whom, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So you need wisdom. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to call? He says that we should ask. And I like looking up, doing word studies and looking it up in my, where? Blue Letter Bible. And I looked up this word ask, and it means to ask, to beg, to call for, to crave, to desire, to require. You need wisdom. You're short on wisdom. Yeah, we need to know that and understand that. Well, what do you need to do? You need to ask for it, beg for it, call out for it, desire it, require it. I got to have wisdom, God. I need it. I can't do this in my own understanding. That's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, don't lean on your own understanding. James, later in the book, he says, you have not, why? Because you ask not. So you don't have any wisdom. Well, did you ask? Well, no. I thought I could figure this one out on my own. Jesus said, and you can remember this very easily because it's three letters, A-S-K, right? Matthew 7, 7. That's easy to remember too, 7, 7, and 8. A-S-K, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Jesus said, you need to ask. You need to ask. You need to seek. You need to knock. And God wants to answer that. God wants to answer us. He knows what our needs are. You know, the book of Proverbs is one of the books, the three main books in the Bible that are called the wisdom literature are Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes. There are some others think that, you know, maybe a few others would fit in that category, but those three books mainly. But the book of Proverbs is just jam-packed with wisdom. And how many times are we even looking at it, reading it? Got a guy like Billy Graham, he used to read a psalm and a proverb every day. A psalm and a proverb. And he probably read other things too, but every day he would read a psalm and a proverb. Right now I'm doing a study in the Proverbs, and I'm doing one verse a day. And I'm just tearing it apart, looking at it. That's I don't do that every day. Every third day I do that. Another day I read the Old Testament. The other day I read in the New Testament. But I just take one verse because I want to see what's there. I want to have what's there. So I want you to turn back with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at a number of verses there. And it gets like right in the middle of your Bible. Proverbs, let's start in verse 10 of chapter 9. Proverbs 9:10. That's an easy one to remember too, right? 9:10. And this is what one of the quotes that I gave you was referring to. Where do we start? We want wisdom from God. Where do we start? Well, Proverbs verse 9, verse 10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." It starts with a relationship with God, where knowing who He is. This fear is not like being afraid of Him. It's this reverence, this awe of the Almighty God. That's you know, having this right relationship and understanding Him, that's where wisdom starts. You leave God out of the picture, good luck. Good luck. You're on your own. Let's see what you can do. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 2. It's just, like I said, loaded, jam-packed. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Maybe James was thinking this when he wrote these words. Look at, it says here, "My son, if you accept my words," and Solomon, who was given wisdom, he's writing these words. He says, "And store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver, search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Verse 6, "For the Lord gives" what? "Wisdom. And from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." The Lord gives wisdom. Matthew Henry said, "To be wise in trying times is a special gift of God, and to Him we must seek for it." Someone else said this, "We don't have to face the problems of life in our own wisdom." We don't have to, because God wants to give it to us. Later in Proverbs, He says, "Don't be wise in your own eyes." That's when you think you know everything. You're looking at yourself, "I'm kind of a wise guy. I'm pretty smart. I know a lot of things." He goes on to say, "Fear the Lord and shun evil." Fear the Lord. Again, it gets back to this idea of relationship with God. You know, that we're afraid to do anything until we talk to Him about it. James says that He gives generously to all without finding fault. He gives generously, and the word there is in the, it's like a participle, like the ing on the again. He's giving generously. He's giving it over and over. It's an ongoing thing. And He doesn't find fault with you. You know, God doesn't say, "You know, you are so dumb. Why are you asking me for wisdom? You know, I told you that already. I told you that last week, and now you're asking me again?" No, He doesn't reproach us like that. He doesn't, you know, hammer on us. Again, that idea, without finding fault, it's in the participle, the present active participle. It's an ongoing thing. He's not finding fault. Ongoing. Someone said he doesn't hold back because of our past failures or even our future ones. He doesn't hold back. He'll answer you and I. And that's what it says, isn't it, in James? He says it will be given to him. That's the promise, right? It will be given to him. So this is the promise. And John says in 1 John 5, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. The confidence. that if we ask anything according to his what? His will, that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. He's given it to us. So in this situation, James tells us, right, that if you ask of God, he doesn't, you know, find fault. He gives generously and he says it will be given to him. I'd say that's pretty much a clear statement of God's will, right? That if we ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to me. That's what James is saying. This is his will. You see, God wants you to know. He hears. He gives. God questions, says God wants us to have his wisdom. He's delighted to give it to us. You know, this thing, you know, wisdom comes in a lot of different facets, right? The moral wisdom, spiritual wisdom, intellectual wisdom. But really what it gets down to in the end is practical. You know, what am I going to do? How am I going to live? How is this going to work out? What do I need to do? So, we ask God, right? This is what we've seen in that verse. And then what? How does he give it? Well, number one, he gives it by the word of God. That's what we see. If you turn back to me, the last book, to Psalms, let's look at a couple of verses there in Psalm 19 and then Psalm 119. Psalm 19 says this in verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. This whole section here is about God's word. It's going to make you wise. And then Psalm 119, which is the psalm of the word, right? It's all about God's word. Psalm 119 and verse 98. Psalm 119, starting in verse 98. I like this. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. What do you need wisdom? You need wisdom when you're in the middle of the battle. How are you going to know what to do in the battle that we face every single day? He says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. God is going to make us wise. But we got to go first and foremost, we got to go to his word. We got to see what he says. Why do we teach the Bible? Because we need it. We need the wisdom. We need the understanding. We need what God has to say for us. And how many of us just leave it on the shelf? I'm not trying to say that to be condemning. I've been there. I've done that. You know what? You got to make it a habit, just like brushing your teeth. Well, I hope you brush your teeth. It's a habit, just like eating every day. You need to do certain things every day. Well, it's a habit that you have. And you know, you do things kind of in a certain pattern, and if you don't do them that way, you get kind of thrown off. It's the same with the Bible. You make it a part of your life and you do it in the same sort of way each and every day, and then if you don't, you go like, well, something's not right, something's wrong. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but you know what? We all need to be encouraged and we all need to be exhorted sometimes to get into the Word and stay in the Word. This is the hallmark of Calvary Chapel, right? The Word of God. You want to be wise? Get into the Word. That's what we just read there in Psalm 119. Your commands, I meditate on them. I obey them. The second thing, though, is people, other believers, mature believers, people you hang out with. There, you know, there's some wisdom in that. Proverbs 13. Let me quote it for you. It says in verse 20, "Walk with the wise, and become wise. You're hanging out with foolish people, doing foolish things, guess what you're going to do? Guess how you're going to think, what you're going to act like. But if you're hanging out with people who are wise, mature, it kind of rubs off. Who are you hanging out with? He says, a companion of fools suffers harm. A few more passages in Proverbs. Let's go back to chapter 2 of Proverbs. We're going to look at three passages and we'll wrap this up because I want to be really wise and not keep you till lunchtime. Proverbs 2, verse 10, starting in verse 10. And, you know, we're not getting all the context here, but we're getting a lot of it here. We've already read the first six verses. Verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths, who walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will also save you from the adulteress. Wisdom. Solomon was an interesting guy. He'd asked for wisdom. Now, one of the things Solomon writes a lot about wisdom, but one of the things that we see in Solomon's life, at the end of his life, he turned away from the wisdom that he knew and that he had. He got himself into a lot of trouble, that guy. But if you look at chapters 5, 6, and 7 about, you know, illicit relationships, it's like, yeah, this is heavy-duty stuff. You better watch out. There's wisdom there like, don't even go near that. If you want to stay out of trouble, don't go near it. Get away from it as far as you can. Be smart. Be wise. It's going to protect you. It's going to save you. Look at chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. Again, there's this book, I mean, he says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her. She will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. He says it again. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her. She will exalt you. Embrace her. She will honor you. Isn't that kind of what James is saying? I wonder if James was affected by these. You know, some people think, you know, James is a lot like, you know, the Proverbs in the sense he's just hard-hitting and just one thing after another. Just this is what you got to do. This is what you got to watch out for. This is the wisdom you need. And last one, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 is kind of an interesting chapter because it's like wisdom personified. Meaning, wisdom is like talking, as a person would talk. Look at verse 17. And this is wisdom speaking. He says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. And what I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making the treasuries full. It even affects, you know, the bottom line in our lives as we seek that wisdom, seek after Him and love Him. Love God and the wisdom that He gives to us. So this idea of wisdom is huge. Why did I just want to look at one verse today? Because you need to know, you know, this is a daily life trial-busting concept for you and I that we need to ask God for wisdom. We got to. He's the one who has it. But it's not just knowledge, people. It's again, it's this practical application of knowledge. It's not just knowing, but it's actually putting it into practice in my life. What's the wise thing to do? So what's going on in your life today? Do you need wisdom in any area, any specific area? Like, what should I do? Not what should I know, but what should I do? Well, I hope that you know where to go after hearing this passage. I hope you're going to go to God for it. One of my favorite verses and one of my actually life verses is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I really got this from a message that Bill Kinnaman preached years and years ago. But King Jehoshaphat, you know, he was facing, you know, a vast army, it says. He was being attacked. He cries out to God. And this is what he says. He says, "Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." I love that. We don't know what to do. How often does that happen in your life, in my life? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I'm going to ask you to show the way to help. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Quiet our hearts a little bit. Consider your life. Consider the things you face, the trials, even the victories. Where do we go? Father God, we turn to you this morning. I pray that you would burn these words into our minds and into our hearts, Lord, that it would be the first place we go is to you for that wisdom that we need. How to apply the knowledge that we have. Not just another Bible verse, but a life verse of something that we actually live in and walk in. God, we can't do it. We can't do it without you. Truth is, we are dumb. But you are all-knowing and you are full of wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding is found in you. Father God, we just cry out to you. We beg for it. We require it. We crave it. It's not something we can live without. Lord, humble ourselves before you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We humble ourselves before you because you are the great and awesome God, the eternal, all-powerful God, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. We stand in awe of you tonight, today, this morning, Lord. Father, I pray for any that don't have a relationship with you. Maybe they've never surrendered. Maybe they don't know. Today, you need to know Jesus died on the cross that you might have eternal life and your sins would all be forgiven and you would have an open relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All you need to do is trust him. Simply cry out and say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I give up my wisdom, my plans, and surrender to you, to your plans. I thank you for the cross where you died and the fact that you conquered death by rising from the dead. I trust you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. And let's all stand and sing together.